Brother Ray, if you come take up a Sunday school offering. Church family, the offerings have been just, God has blessed so much, and we praise Him for it. And as I said, our missions, $1,200 this month. We took on a missionary, Miss Sharon Manning. We have 16 missionaries, and it's still there to give, and I praise the Lord for that. I've told our missionaries they'll receive at least 50 a month, and it's been averaging probably $80 a month, so we praise the Lord for that. Amen. All right, Brother A, would you go ahead and ask a blessing there?
Dear Father, thank you for all you've done. Pray that you just keep on providing the need
here. Amen. Amen, Lord.
Sunday school hour and this offering to the Sunday school. And
amen.
Pray that you keep on providing the need and bring people back that have been sick and injured. Lord, pray that you just help heal them up.
Amen. Amen. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Zephaniah chapter, wow, David, you ain't even got yourself together. I've been up a while today. I don't know why. I just couldn't sleep much. I already got a 1 mile walk in uphill. Back's feeling really good. I've got to a point where I can work out at least 2 days in a row. So that's always healthy. And Zephaniah chapter 1, look at verse 12. This morning, I want to look at the thought that the Lord will do something. Verse number 12 and verses number 18 prove this point for sure. Zephaniah 1, verse number 12, "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles." This is something very important to understand. There is nothing that cannot be seen by God. He sees everything, everything. God sees everything. Now, in this passage, He's going to search out Jerusalem. But the opposite of that is what King David said. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." It's a lot different than God coming through a destroyed and devastated area and searching, as opposed to you and I allowing God to search our own hearts. There are things in our life that are wrong. I know it's hard to believe. I know it. But there are things in your life that are not right that you're not willing to see. And then when God shows them to you, it just breaks your heart. The believer that wants to do right, the believer that wants to walk upright, the believer that wants to honor the Lord in everything that the individual does, or the believer says and does and whatnot. And you want God to search your heart now. I'd rather Him search my heart now than to bring on whatever has to in order to get my attention. Every one of us has got at least 100 things wrong. Now, let me say this. Each one of us has got 100 things that are right, too. Especially if you're in the Word and you're praying and you want to live that right life, you find that the fruits of the Spirit, they balance your life out with what you is wrong as opposed to what is right. And remember, you cannot do and be wrong as well as do and be wrong. So with that in mind, the Lord is going to do something. Look at verse number 12 again. "And it shall come to pass at that time, well, I will search Jerusalem with candles." Now, yes, this is to Israel, no doubt about it. But there are biblical principles that we can pull out of this if we'll study it. I don't believe God gave any ounce of Scripture that's not for us. It's all for us. Is it written to this person or that person? Or is it written to this group or that group? Possibly. But all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. Remember that. So He says in verse 12, "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled in their lees." Now, when He mentions candles there, I got to thinking about the power being out. Now, I know in Jerusalem they don't exactly have power lines, but the power's gone out. If you think about it, not only has God's power left them, because He said, "Fine, if you're not going to follow me, I'm done." Now, He's divorced Israel according to the Old Testament. He has set her aside. And He's still dealing with Israel. He's still dealing as His own people. He's not put them away. In other words, He's not throwing them away. He's still dealing with Israel. Even right now, this very minute, today, over in Jerusalem, God is still dealing with them. And I think what's a sad shame is they don't see the truth of the Lord Jesus. But then on top of that, they don't see themselves. They only see themselves when they need to as God's people. There's a fight going on right now between Netanyahu and the president of Israel. And Benjamin Netanyahu has been much like Golda Meir was. And many of the other leaders of Israel over the years. You look back into Scripture, how God used Mordecai, Esther's uncle. How He's used others, whether it be King David or King Solomon. Or you get back to Samuel and some of the other judges. Where you see Samson even. That's how God has dealt with His people. And that kind of thing is going on. But even right now, the power is out. Now, that could be not electrical, but God's power. And that's what happened to Israel as they forsook God and they brought in all these idols. We know the story of Gideon. They were all upset because Gideon got rid of all the idols. You remember that? And they went to his daddy and they said, "We're going to kill him. You need to go straighten that boy out. He's a full-grown man. We got to let God straighten him out," his daddy basically said to him. "And it shall come to pass at the time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees." Last week I explained that lees, now this goes back to maybe winemaking or juice. Remember, the Bible is very, very specific in it. Now, in this passage, this word lees, when you make a fermented, it's that stuff that settles to the bottom. That's what lees are. They're settled and they're they don't want to be stirred anymore. They're lazy. This would lead back to that sloth of the book of Proverbs. But they're settled on their lees. They say in their heart, "The Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil. He's not going to do anything about it." That's what's happened to a lot of our parenting. Now, if you don't stop, I'm gonna spank your bottom. That's one, that's two, that's three, right? And all you've done is taught your child how to count. That's all you've done. If mom's watching, she'll get a kick out of this. Mom and dad, they didn't count. You know, they just, of course, you know, my mom's always say, "David, I wish you wouldn't say it because you make everybody think I was just a horrible mom." So, no, you're a good mom. She's the mom that would start swinging three counties away, make contact, and you land four counties away. That was mom. Mom's a lot, you know, about that tall, I think. But the point, yeah, you are. Amen. But, you know, they got settled on it. They said, "God's not going to do anything." Did they not read the book of Judges? Did they not read what God did to Egypt in Exodus? You know what happened was they forgot about the word and they only included parts of the scriptures that they liked. They included the days of Moses being this great prophet. And Moses was. See, the Israel today, they don't see the Lord Jesus. They worship Moses. He's ours. He's ours. And then what's crazy is Paul and so much of the scriptures, Abraham's seed, Abraham's seed, Abraham's seed. King David, King David, King David. No, they look at Moses. And Moses had his struggles. He killed a man, you remember? That's why he ran off to the east. And of course, he got his wife and his father-in-law there and all the struggles of that. And then there was other times when Moses was scared for his life. Just a lot of struggles going on. So they don't look at the right things. They look at the wrong things. God's not going to do anything. That's why in the scriptures you see so much about Sodom and Gomorrah. You see so much about the rebuilding of Babylon. That's one of the reasons why Saddam Hussein was because he started rebuilding the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And God said there was a curse on that. There's a curse on Jericho and rebuilding of Jericho. And so many other, "Oh, God's not going to do anything." Yeah, He is. Much of what we see today is God's plan and God's work. For example, Europe has completely forsaken God and they've been overrun by locusts. You say, what do you mean by that? Locusts. In the person of the Islamist, the Muslim. And the Muslim people, listen, they will destroy before they ever make better. And you talk about a tyrannical religion. It's here. Farmington Hills, Dearborn, and other places over in the Detroit area. They have a beachhead, is what the Marine would call it, what the military would call it. They have a beachhead there. The Christian cannot be within 8 blocks. And even then, the police will come along and tell the folks that are witnessing, they need to back off another 4 blocks. In the United States of America, same thing's happening in Houston, Texas, same thing is happening in a lot of areas. But Europe is just overrun. Now, Germany is having to do things. Poland's doing things. England's starting to a little bit. But the prime ministers and the controllers of all these nations, look, if you give them a dollar, they're going to look the other way. And that's what's happened. I mean, we see that in the state of Michigan with Jocelyn Benson and Whitmer's gang. They're all taking money under the table. They're all changing how they govern. And that's one of the things that's got me in trouble around here over the years. Not so much in the last 10, 12 years, but when I was first here, because I wouldn't govern according to the people. We are not a congregationally run church. And any church that's congregationally run is a doctrinal, godless mess. The Lord Jesus has got to be in charge. So you see how these scriptures, God's not going to do anything. God's not going to do anything. Yes, He is. Look at verse number 18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Now, as you notice, in the book of Zephaniah, you have the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Verse number 7, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, and He hath bid His guests. It's the day of the Lord. Now, what is that date? As we look into Scripture, we're looking at the return of the Lord, second coming of the Lord Jesus to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. There's great wrath. The great tribulation, the 7 years that you and I have been saved from that condemnation and wrath. And I'm thankful for that. So this day of the Lord is a real day. Sister Karis, this is when we get to come back on horses, according to the book of Revelation. That day of the Lord, that day is going to be a rough and hard day. Even coming up to that, mountains will be moved. Rivers will be rechanneled and changed. It's amazing that 1/3 just in the very short beginning of the Great Tribulation, 1/3 of life on earth is gone. It is amazing all the devastation and destruction. Oh, God's not going to do anything. Verse 18 again, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them. They're not going to be able to buy their way out of this. There's no bartering with God. This is a sight of God, beloved. I am so thankful that my Savior took upon Himself when He hung on the cross. Do you understand that, Christian? That destruction and that condemnation and that wrath was taken on the Lord, put on the Lord Jesus Christ for you and I. Boy, I thank Him for that. I praise Him. So that leads me into a thought of Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In verse number 7 specifically, if you reap to the flesh, you shall reap corruption. But you sow to the Spirit, you reap to the Spirit. You reap those godly things. It's amazing to me. So many believe that God will not do anything, and His wrath is not real. Well, I don't know about you, but I've been taken to the woodshed, and I will tell you, as a child of God, His wrath is real. Now, it's not the same severity of this condemnation and wrath, but He will take you to the woodshed. Now, with that in mind, look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation, not desired. Israel's not desired. They've been hated and hated and hated and hated. And God's the only one that accepted them and took care of them. From the manna to the, how about the deliverance in Esther's day? Daniel's day. The deliverance that the children of Israel have seen with Egypt, just to go back to even the book of Exodus. They've been taken care of regardless. It is amazing to me that God took care of them even when they was a whining and a crying about not having any meat. Whining and crying, you brought us out here, Moses, and we're 3 days away. We have no drinking water. What are you doing? Oh, that we would have died in Egypt. You morons. The very God that split the Red Sea for you to walk on dry land. You want to be that? But you know, Christian, if we're not careful, we're that away. God's been so good to us. And I'm so thankful. And you got to be thankful and appreciative and thankful and appreciative. Of course, the best way to show that is through obedience. So many churches today are like ours with empty pews. And that's one of my problems is I see the empty pew before I see the filled pew. And that's stupidity. Because we are in that day of the falling away of the faith. We are. Where a rock concert for a music program is more desired than the preaching of God's Word. God's Word, the King James Bible. Brother Mike was talking to me yesterday about meeting the assistant pastor of the church they're at. And they're a good, solid Baptist church. But the assistant pastor said to him, he says, well, we just know that the King James is, for right now, the best translation. It's the only translation. There's a difference. And a lot of Christians and a lot of churches, they don't know why. They just know they're supposed to use the King James Bible. But you ought to know why. And Brother Mike's, I said, well, it sounded to me like God's got his soldier on duty right now. And of course, you know, when you go into another man's ministry, you want to help the ministry. You don't want to tear up the vines. That's not righteous either. You got to help the pastor in his gardening of that place that God's placed him. But it is amazing to me how many people don't even know why they carry a King James Bible. That's why, church family, I know maybe you, and I pray you don't get tired of it, but that's why I'm always putting it forth to you. Hey, here's why. Here's why. Here's the change that they made here and there. And the newer versions, they changed the day of the Lord, and so now they've got the prophecy of Scripture all messed up. That's why they come up with a lot of their different doctrines of not premillennialism, but more like a amillennialism or a double rapture, or you know, there's a lot of different things that can come in, and it's not there. It's not there. Now, verse number 2, before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord. All ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Now Ashdod and Ekron are gods. But he mentions Gaza there and Ashkelon. These are different places. He's speaking of the devastation and the destruction. Verse number 5. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Cherethites. These are worshipers of Baal. The word of the Lord is against you. What I'm afraid of today, that I'd have to say that God's against the United States, but he's using President Trump and our nation to take care of his people. That's all we are. And we're just here. We are, listen, beloved, I get a lot of people, we're not as important as we think we are. Although we are adopted into God's family. Yes, we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the family of God. No doubt about that. But beloved, God's plan is a lot bigger than you and me. And from our point of view, it will change over time as you study the Word. Wow. And here's the thought. God don't need me. I need God. Colossians chapter 1, in the beginning there, Paul makes mention of that. And, you know, he doesn't need us. But thank and praise the Lord Jesus, he wants us. Boy, he has a desire for us so much so he went to the cross. And he left the tomb. They didn't even roll the stone back and he got out of there. That's the kind of God I need. That's the kind of Savior I need. That's the kind of Lord and friend I want. At least I pray you do too. So with that in mind, verse 5, woe unto the inhabitants of the sea and the coast and the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you. O Canaan, the land of the Philistines, I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. So with this idea, the Lord will do something. Now there's a whole lot more there, and we'll get into the rest of chapters over the next few weeks. But for today, the Lord will do something. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And every time I open my Bible, I know in Jeremiah that the heart is desperately wicked. I know that the soul, Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I know these things, I know these things, I know these things, and it never changes. Not in my King James Bible, not in other Bibles it will, or other versions, excuse me. You can't even call them a Bible. So, number one, the Lord God Almighty will bring judgment, destruction, and wrath. I think that is not, we're not going to debate that. Now, there are some that will want to debate it, and they'll debate it by excluding passages like Luke 16 with hell and the rich man. They'll close their eyes to it. I told you, it's like the little kid that pinches his eyes really tight. I'm not here, I'm not here, I'm not here. You cannot make the truth disappear. But I can tell you right now, the truth can make you disappear. Ask Ananias and Sapphira when they lied before the Holy Spirit there in Acts chapter 5. The Lord God's going to do this. God's wrath and judgment are absolutely real. Anybody in here disagree with that? Many of us have felt that in our own lives. Many of us have seen that. Even with the warnings that we were given pre-dummy stage, right? And all of us have been there, foolish stage. Pre-foolishness, we're seeing God work. And wow, man, Lord, yeah, it's real. Thankfully, now I put this statement in because I want to encourage us in the same breath. With this in mind, thankfully, God is also a God of mercy on the repentant sinner. God cannot forgive until you repent. That's scriptural. Now, you and I have got to forgive. And we're going to be into that in this morning with Luke 17 about forgiveness. But friends, God's merciful to the repentant sinner. You and I, He has shown us mercy by His grace and mercy. We say so often, and of course, when we add faith in her, by grace are you saved through faith. By the mercies of God. Of course, mercy again is God not giving us what we deserve. In Zephaniah, you see a picture of what we really deserve. Luke 16, we see a picture of it. Acts chapter 5, we see a picture of it. And all throughout the scriptures, we see a picture of the believer and non-believer and the judgment of God upon sin. God cannot laugh at sin. God cannot turn His eye to sin, especially when it's in His own children. Now, there is, and I noticed this too. He mentions verse number one, gather yourselves together, ye gather together, O nation not desired. There's always a remnant of believers in Israel. Now, today we will use the term, and it was coined by Friends of Israel. They talked about the Messianic Jew. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Messiah. And the Jew, and I've met some from Bethlehem, and I've met some others from Tel Aviv and other places, and in witness, yes, Jesus is the Messiah. And it's a blessing to know that they know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They're true believers. There's always a remnant. Even right now in Israel, there's a remnant. There's a remnant in Jerusalem. There's a remnant in Bethany. There's still a remnant in the Galilean area. There's a remnant in Decapolis across the river. There's a remnant. There's a remnant. There's a remnant of true believers in Russia, Jewish believers. In America, there's a remnant. And there always will be. There's always going to be a group that really believe God is God and the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. Thank Him for that. Now, you and I are not a part of that. We're Gentiles. I understand that. But when it's all said and done, we're the family of God. If God calls a man son, you better love him like a brother. If God calls a woman daughter, you better love her like a sister. That's just a plain and out simple. And we can argue and we can say this is for this people and this is for this people, but I sure am glad God is for me and for you. Zephaniah is needed in the believer's life. Because these are not just idle warnings. Well, that's one. Well, that's two. Now, I will say this. I'm glad God's long-suffering. But there's coming a day even when His long-suffering ends. And He will say, enough is enough. So many believe that God's judgment is non-existent, though. Most believe that God has no wrath or judgment. And they portray God as the old man in the sky. They portray Him as the man upstairs. The man upstairs. He's more than man, friend. He's God. The earth is His footstool and the heavens are His throne. The heavens are His throne. Can you imagine how big that throne is? Has anybody been out there to the edge of the Milky Way? Nope. Has anybody been out to planet whatever? Has anybody been out to whatever nebulous, whatever this giant star or this or that or what? No. They're sending pictures back from some of these satellites they've sent out. And it's beautiful in the colors that God put in all of nature, if you use that word. The different pictures in space that they bring back. And what's a real shame is he doesn't get credit for it. Jamie and I last year had gone to Kennedy Space Center and we'd sat down there to watch one of them. They always talked about millions of years ago this happened, millions of years ago. This was a star that exploded and this was that. How do you know that? Because they believe that God is non-existent. And that's one of the things, you know, His Word's been given to us to show us that He is existent. How do I know God exists? Because I do. Now, you'll either see Him as Creator or you won't. And that's just the simple line. There's not 75 different choices. God either is or He is not. Now, I know that He is because His Bible tells me that He is. Many believe that God has no wrath or judgment. Many believe that God will never destroy. What happened to Pompeii? It was a volcanic covered that city. There's been other cities that have been inundated with what? Sand. Why do the archaeologists have to dig down to find some of these places? Because God used sand. At one time, probably the most beautiful area in the world. Matter of fact, from Scripture, I believe that's where the Garden of Eden was at. You could see where Kuwait is, and you see Iraq, and you see some of the beauty in the Euphrates River. So now we know. Now we have one of the borders that was according to the book of Genesis. It was all beautiful at one time. But sin destroyed it all. So that's why the archaeologist has to dig to find some of these walls. They have to dig 50 and 100 feet into the sand to find these places. Now, some of the sand has been moved, but over time they dug out a lot of the pyramids and they've dug and they've done this and they have found that. Why? Because God's judgment. God's judgment. Many believe that God will never destroy. Many believe that God will never condemn. Well, you were condemned the minute you were conceived. And in sin was I conceived. Many believe that God will never cast into hell. Boy, we figured that, we found that one out, didn't we? One very specific certain rich man in Luke chapter 16 that our Lord tells us about. Now, what was his name? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And going back to verse number 18, their gold and silver is not going to buy him eternal life. He uses that term rich man on purpose. You and I, we don't feel rich. But if you go to a third world country, you go into some of the places here, even in America, where democratic policies and the politician have destroyed parts of America, there's a third world country. Chicago has become, for the most part, a third world country. There are definitely the super haves and the have-nots. Now, my grandma lived out in West Chicago, and we had family closer in on Route 36 there, Roosevelt Road. And I can remember going in, and then you go into the city of Chicago, and you see all these skyscrapers. I guarantee you the rich man's going to keep his dollar. But still, even people in parts of the country, farmers, are still a million times better off than the poorest on earth. It's just, riches don't keep you from judgment. Riches don't keep you from this. Riches don't keep you from that. Poor doesn't keep you from this and keep you from that. Boy, there's so much that can be said even in that, and I won't get onto that. But the fact is, God will destroy. God will condemn, which He already has, and God will cast into hell. We're given the scriptures of the Antichrist and the beast being thrown into the lake of fire. Satan himself thrown in a lake of fire. And by the way, beloved, he don't need you and I's help to do that. He's going to do it though one day. And the devil knows, and he's trying to take as many people with him as he possibly can. So many believe that God's judgment's non-existent. Many believe that hell doesn't exist. The Mormon says there are three heavens, and then there's one area under heaven where all the non-believers go. Well, the first heaven, according to them, is all those prophets and Joseph Smiths and Brigham Youngs. And Brigham Young, buddy, he was a killer. He was as much of a criminal as Jimmy Hoffa, Al Capone, Nebuchadnezzar. And the list goes on and on and on. Osama bin Laden, everybody, you know, he was public enemy number one. Well, let me say to you, Brigham Young was just as bad. He killed Christians in Utah. There was religious persecution in Utah, and there still is a lot of it. Maybe not some people being killed as much, but if you're not part of the Mormon church, then you can't even go to the second heaven. And then there's those that are been baptized into the Mormon religion, baptized for their family, so they all are now saved because Joey got baptized and now his entire family is all now part of the Mormon church. And that's heaven number three. And then there's you and I, which will be servants to those that are in heavens one, two, and three. Now, does that make any sense? But they complicate it so people will just accept it and believe it. Because Joseph Smith had some holy goggles on and saw some gold plates. Where are they at, Joseph Smith? Oh, I had to rebury him. Well, we're just going to take your word for it. Are you kidding me? But that's the person that thinks hell's non-existent. And so many religions do, whether it be Seventh-day Adventists or the Mormons, as I said, Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, the one thing when I witness Jehovah's Witnesses, I always ask them, what tribe are you in? And are you a part of the 144,000 that are actually going to make it? Because you know there's about 3 to 4 million Jehovah's Witnesses. So which ones are going to get picked? So then that means you go into total annihilation and you never exist again. What kind of garbage is that in comparison? The Lord Jesus said, I'll give you life. Lord Jesus said, I am life. He said, I am the resurrection and life. I think I'd rather, what if the Bible's not true? I said, I would rather go into eternity knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is the Savior and He saved my soul than to have the thought that I don't know if I'll exist or not. Which one do you want? Well, as I mentioned before, we entitled today with the Lord will do something. God will bring wrath and judgment on sin and the sinner. That is the main thesis statement of the morning. God will do what He has said in the Scriptures. But did you notice His mercy? Did you notice His want? What His true desire is? Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. What a beautiful statement. Look, nobody else wants you, but I want you. And that's who you and I have as believers. I don't know about you, but I have that, I guess it's my personality, so to speak. I want to be desired. Right? on my desk right now because my sister loves me so much. Allowed me to take the one no-bake cookie that had poison on it out of her bucket. My precious wife took and made some no-bakes yesterday. And they turned out great. Man, they was good. I had two of them. God's been good to me. Desire. We all want to be desired. Well, Christian, you are desired. And it's from a holy heart that wants you. You ever feel not wanted? I do. Probably more than I should. And it's probably foolishness in my world. But I don't know how often I'm reminded in the Scriptures that God desires me. He desires me. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you think He's not going to do something, He's fixing to do something. Father, thank You for Sunday school, and I pray it's been a help and a blessing. Thank You, Lord God, for the Old Testament, the New Testament, all of it. Thank You, God, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.